Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
F1's most successful designer is becoming a team principal.
A little bit of a surprise for me.
Him becoming team principal just formalizes what I think a lot of the people in the team thought anyway, which was he is our leader.
One thing is to design a car, one thing is to lead a Formula One team.
Should McLaren focus on Lando, give him the priority?
I will put everything on Lando. Going to Abu Dhabi with Max Verstappen still on the fight for the title is so dangerous.
Welcome everyone to the Lusail International Circuit for F1 Nation's preview of this weekend's Qatar Grand Prix, a sprint weekend where we have big news to react to and potentially a world champion to crown. I'm Tom Clarkson, and joining me in the paddock outside McLaren is Spanish broadcaster and journalist Albert Fabrega. Albert, great to see you again. Now, let's start with the news that F1's most successful designer is becoming a team principal. Adrian Newey will take charge of Aston Martin next season. He's going to lead the team at the racetrack, as well as the design and technical team back at the team's factory in the UK. Current TP, Andy Cowell, will take on a new role as chief strategy officer. Now, Adrian is without doubt a design genius, but this will be the first time he runs a team. And here's what the Aston Martin drivers, Fernando Alonso and Lance Stroll, think of the decision.
Great news for the team to have Adrian with all his expertise and knowledge about everything that a team should need to compete at the highest level is great news. The role of team principal is a little bit different nowadays, and you have to deal with other things, other staff or media or commitments or sponsors or something like that I hope Adrian doesn't need to do all of those, you know, and concentrate it more in the important stuff. But, he knows how to operate a team and how everyone should focus in one direction. So he's a great leader and happy with this announcement.
Exciting. Yeah, I think it's great for the team. I mean, he's been managing, a lot of things back at the factory for the last few months since he joined. So to have him in that position, I think it's just positive for the whole team. I know he's much more than just aerodynamicist car designer at the moment. I mean, he's of course his main priority is the car, and he's completely on top of it. It's his project, his baby, but he's also heavily involved in managing the people and the culture and the team, and extracting the most out of everyone in every position in the whole company. So he's working in many different avenues.
Now, what about you, Albert? Let's get your reaction.
Yeah, a little bit of a surprise for me, from my point of view. You know, this kind of genius like Adrian Newey, if I would be the owner of the team, I would have him just thinking and having his mind just focused on how to make the car quicker. But obviously, as a Formula One team is today, he wants his decisions to be always on his, right direction. So yeah, a little bit of surprise, but I guess that he will put a lot of people around him to make the hard work that is related to the team principle.
Albert, it is a bit of a trend that we've seen in Formula One in recent years, isn't it? I mean, Toto Wolff is the only team principal now who doesn't have a technical background, not an engineer. And I mean, Adrian is the first designer, I suppose you could say, who is now team principal. How well suited to the job do you think Adrian will be?
I don't know. One thing is to design a car. One thing is to lead the develop of a car or the development line of a car. Another thing is to manage people, to manage a Formula One team that is it's bigger than only a department and the technical line. So, as I said, I'm pretty much sure that he will have people next to him doing the day-to-day operations, because obviously he cannot be focused on the details. And yeah, we will see. It's obviously a measure that that will affect the day-by-day team as it was till now. And time will tell. The results of these decisions are not going to be on the table next race. So it's something that we'll have to wait some time.
I always find it fascinating watching the team principals at work at a racetrack, right? They bounce from such different conversations. I remember seeing one of the TPs, won't mention his name, but he was at 1 minute was talking about a driver contract. 5 minutes later, he was talking to the title sponsor of the team. After that, he was talking to someone in the media. It's such a broad role.
Yes.
Is there a danger that if you start getting Adrian involved in those kinds of conversations, the media, the sponsors,
the emails, the information, the flows of information you have to manage?
Will it take away from his core role, which is to lead the team technically?
Yes, if he's planning to do it by itself. If he's planning to do the same thing as Toto Wolff is doing, or if he's planning to do the same thing that James Wolff was doing, or Christian Horner before in Red Bull, or any other team principal, you know, I think that he needs to have around him people doing this kind of jobs. It's also a political job, team principal. He needs to be the face of the team. Obviously, there is a Mr. Stroll that is the owner, but he's a team principal, so he will have to be the face of the team in certain phases of this project. And I hope that he's focusing on the thing that he's a genius, and he's been one of the most successful engineers in the F1 history, that is to design cars and to think
26
about
26 world championships. Yes. He's won. I guess this is a compliment to the team's chief technical officer, Enrico Cardile, who joined from Ferrari in July this year. Maybe Adrian's thinking that with him supporting him back at Silverstone at the factory, it does free him up to do a broader role.
And yeah, in the factory, and then he needs someone as well next to him in the tracks, on the
what
tracks.
What do you mean, a sort of chief executive role? Well, the sort of Zach... Are we looking
Mike Crack, he was doing very well his job before the arrival of Andy Cowell, so maybe, yeah, we will see. Do you know, when the rumors started to arise, I thought that maybe one of the best candidates for... I was thinking in Andreas Seidel.
Used to be at McLaren.
Yes,
before Andreas Taylor.
He did a very good job in McLaren. So I was thinking on him to be that operational guy that was moving the team. I don't see Adrian Newey taking the matters of the day by day of the team and the factories, you know. But yeah, if he wants to be at that position, because obviously he chose to be the team principal, I'm sure he has been on the table writing down all the pros and cons.
It was fascinating, Albert. I was at Silverstone doing a Beyond the Grid podcast with Enrico Cardile a couple of months ago, and we recorded it. We recorded it in a meeting room right next door to the design office, and glass walls, so I could see Adrian at work. I could see him designing with his drawing board. He has an office, glass-walled office, in the middle of the design office, so I could see him designing away. And then I would guess once every 20 minutes, half an hour, he'd come out of his office and walk past the other designers. There's 250 people in this room, and he'd occasionally stop, look over someone's shoulder, give a bit of advice, then move on, maybe a few people later stop again. So it became clear to me then, one, the intensity of Adrian's work. This move to Aston Martin wasn't some pension booster for him.
No.
This is a very competitive
man challenge for him,
who wants to win. And also, it became clear to me watching him that he is a figurehead in that team. So in a way, him becoming team principal just formalizes what I think a lot of the people in the team thought anyway, which was he is our leader. I was just watching him leading his design team. Why not spread that net wider to the whole team and become team principal?
Yeah, that's the point. You know, he's a leader. He's a leader. He's been a leader in Red Bull. He's been a leader when he was at McLaren or whatever the project he was there. He was moving everything. He was moving the team, was moving around him. And pretty much sure that Aston Martin will move around him in a way that the performance of the car is going to be the only target. But that's one thing that I'm pretty much sure that he is conscious about that. The other thing is that the image, the political side of the Formula One, where maybe Adrian is not the perfect candidate, let's say. The one that has to be in the meetings, the one that has to be in front of the press. I don't know if he will be...
Hang on, Albert. I'm actually going to disagree with you there. Do you remember 2009 and the double diffuser?
Yes.
So you had Toyota, Williams and Braun turned up in Melbourne with the double diffuser. Adrian thought that was outside of the regulations. And to see him... go into bat and try and get that regulation overturned. I thought politically, okay, he didn't succeed, but he was very political then. He knew how to play the game.
But I mean, if you want to do these kind of things, you have to forget about many other things that you have behind. And the role of the principal, if you don't have around yourself the right people doing protecting yourself, is like when a defender is moving to the attack to score a goal. If you're not moving the team behind him to protect your goalkeeper, you are leaving an aisle easy for the other team. So I'm pretty much sure that they know that, and they will cover all the positions in case that Adrian Newey is jumping to situations like this to focus on the car, as well when he is drawing, you know, like a genius that he is, the concept of the new cars.
What are you expecting from Aston in 2026? Does this changing of the guard, if that's the right expression, increase the pressure on the team to succeed?
I think the pressure is always there for Aston Martin. You know, this project is here in Formula One to win. It's not here to be sixth or seventh or five or third or second. They are here to win. So the pressure is always there. The urgency of becoming a top team is there already. But, you know, these kind of things, I think, that check the structure of the team. And for me, is the stability is important on these kind of projects. So I'm not sure how these decisions or the exit of some people from the aero department recently, a couple of weeks ago, will have an impact to the whole structure and to the car for next year. I don't believe that one person can change one team from one day to the other. So it's a process. Formula One is, and the teams are subject to cycles. So it's not you are not becoming six or seven in the Formula One championship, and then the year after you are the first. Maybe only the Brown case, we can say. I think in its time. But they are doing the right things. So I don't know if it's going to be 26 or 27 or 28. But they are putting in place everything you need to succeed in Formula One, yes.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy. But Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Let's now focus on this race weekend, the penultimate round of the season, where the 2025 world champion could be crowned. Oscar Piastri and Max Verstappen are both 24 points adrift of championship leader Lando Norris. And here's the maths. Lando will be champion if he extends his lead to 26 points or more by the end of the weekend. He cannot win the title in Saturday's sprint race alone. Max has won this race for the last 2 years and is driving beautifully. Oscar is also a former sprint winner here, looking to reboot his title challenge. And Lando has the lead, but also the most pressure. So, Albert, who is going to come out on top? What's your feeling as we come into the weekend?
That it was a huge mistake from McLaren last weekend in Las Vegas. That's true. And that's increasing the pressure internally in the team and on the drivers, mainly over Lando Norris, who had the title already in his pocket after Las Vegas checkered flag, no, after Las Vegas stewards' decision to exclude both cars.
But and in the post-race press conference, yes, he was there in P2. He had his 30-point lead in the championship at that point.
At that point. Things turn over very, very easy in Formula One. And yeah, I think that this is increases even more the pressure to them. But I think that Lando is in a momentum of his career where he knows he can achieve the championship, and I feel he himself is start trusted a little bit more in his capabilities, in his possibilities of becoming world champion, maybe since 3 or 4 races ago, and I've seen a more stronger Lando Norris than some other stages of the season. But obviously, what happened in Las Vegas have had an impact within the team. I don't know if this will change for this race. I don't know if the papaya rules have changed. They say no.
McLaren say no. That was going to be my question. With Max now lurking, yes, just those 24 points back, should McLaren focus on Lando, give him the priority?
If I would be Andrea Stella or Zak Brown, I would say yes. I would put everything on Lando. And I will, if at some point of the race I have to use Oscar Piastri to help Lando, I would do it. I would do it. Because going to Abu Dhabi with Max Verstappen still on the fight for the title is so dangerous. And if I can seal the title here, I would do everything I have on my hands to do it. Yes.
But as you say, McLaren have said today that they're not changing their approach.
No, that's it. That's it. But they've been saying this since the first race. So I don't know. For me, in the current Formula One, it looks like the successful projects are the ones that are focusing in one driver, are using the second driver as another team member, let's say. Not in that words, but they're sometimes using the second driver to be sure that the title driver have the best performance and have the best tools to achieve the best result and to win the title.
You say you've seen a better Lando Norris in,
yes,
the last 3 or 4 races.
Yes.
In what areas do you think he's better?
Confidence. Confidence, for sure. Confidence. He's done very little mistakes. Maybe last weekend in Las Vegas, on the start of Las Vegas, it was the only mistake I've seen him in the last 3 Grand Prix. And yeah, I think that on the key moment, he has done a step forward. He has raised the level of the game, and he's performing much better. Probably he's more comfortable with the car. I'm pretty much sure of this. But yeah, I've seen Lando Norris that is sitting on the car thinking that he can be world champion.
All right, so let's go back to the guys in joint P2 now. Max Verstappen, 24 points back, as we've already said. Do you think he'll change his approach in any way coming into this weekend?
I think Max is heading every race in the same manner. He doesn't think if he's chasing the championship or he's not. Of course, he's on the mind, but he will go forever. He will go for the win. He will go as he has been driving always in the car, trying to chase the win, even if he's fighting for nothing. So I don't think he's changing the approach. Obviously, mentally, he's stronger than the others. He's been already 4 times world champion, so he's stronger than Norris and than Piastri, and he can be more relaxed than them. But I don't think his approach will change at all.
Just cast your mind back to Zandvoort. He was 104 points behind Piastri, and here we are, 2 races to go. They're level.
It's not been only Max Verstappen. I give a lot of credit to Red Bull. That the car was not performing well, they knew. And I think that they did a big effort to try to turn around the situation. You remember where it was Red Bull at the beginning of the season with all the problems they had with Christian leaving the team, Lauren arriving, the car was not performing, they were completely off the championship already. And I think that they did a big effort to try to solve the technical problems they had on the car, that they were there, but also to make the team to trust in itself again. And that's very important. You know, it's not only Max Verstappen factor, it's Red Bull. They didn't throw the towel when the situation was to say, okay, we lost the season, we start a new project, let's focus on 2026, forget about 25. No, they believe in themselves. And I think it's been, for me, even more important that Max Verstappen recovery, what Red Bull has done with the car and with the team, that he was coming from a very, very difficult moment.
What about Piastri? Struggled for a few races. He's admitted that as well. Did you start to see a bit of a recovery in the last couple of races?
Very little, very little. I haven't seen the Oscar Piastri that we saw in different moments of the season where he was performing really well. That smashing guy that was doing the simple things with calm, with no panic, not doing any exceptional races, but being very fast, consistent, solid, with no mistakes, and being quicker than his teammate. And yeah, during last 7 or 8 races, maybe since Monza, and then Baku. I think Baku was a big turning point for him when he did 2 mistakes in a row qualifying, and then during the race, I think that he started to do not perform as well as he did on the first part of the season.
Can we talk tyres? There's one change for this weekend that I feel might take away from one of McLaren's big advantages, is the way that it looks after its rear tyres in particular. And we've got these mandated stint lengths now. The tyres can do no more than a maximum of 25 laps this weekend, largely down to the wear that we see here because of the fast-flowing nature of this racetrack. Do you think that change will favour Red Bull more than McLaren?
Yes, because one of the biggest McLaren advantages related to tyre degradation. So this is a track very, very difficult for the tyres. It's very demanding for the tyres. So everything that is limiting the options you have in terms of degradations and the length of the stints, it will pay in favour of Red Bull, pretty much sure. And if in this kind of corners, I think that we can see a quicker Red Bull in these conditions, having in mind that you can do only 25 laps and you have to stop twice, at least during the race. So, yeah, it goes to Max's side.
So this will be, you know, as you say, at least a two-stopper, as dictated by the FIA. Of course, 2 years ago here, we had mandated stint lengths as well. Funnily enough, they were 18 laps, whereas we're now up to 25 this year. All we saw 2 years ago was the drivers just going flat out. I've never seen them look more exhausted than after that race in 23.
The conditions were a little bit different, isn't it? For the heat, we are in a different season of the year, and the conditions were a little bit more difficult than this. But yeah, I think it was a little bit surprising for everyone. Today the drivers are not only good drivers. You need good skills to be quick in Formula One. You have to manage many things, and I think the drivers are getting used to manage too many things. When they are not limited because of the managing, they were a little bit surprised of how demanding are these Formula Ones. That is the quickest of the history. So it's really impressive.
Let's rein it back in to what we think is going to happen this weekend. Can I have some predictions from you? Let's have a sprint winner and then a 1-2-3 on Sunday.
Oof, that's tricky, huh? I would say sprint winner, I put it on...
What's going through your head? What are you processing right now? To me, it's fairly
I'm
processing, obvious.
You know that you have only one free practice. And I was thinking in one free practice, who's managing better this condition. So I would say that for one race, for the sprint race, I would say that McLaren will set up better the car. They are.
Do you think they'll be more conservative with their setup
this
weekend?
Yes, they will. They need to.
They
must be.
Yeah.
They must be. But not for the sprint, because they maybe you can manage a little bit with less fuel. I'm pretty much sure that it's easier to manage. And it's not as bumpy as it was Las Vegas. So I don't think it's going to be a problem.
The sprint is only 19 laps.
But they took too much risk there. But there is a lot of factors. It's not a matter of only taking the risk. There is a lot of factors that they maybe they were misjudging in Las Vegas. So I think that is they have this under control. They will be a little bit more conservative. I don't think so. They have technology. They have good team enough to not do these mistakes again. So I would say that McLaren to win the sprint race.
Which one?
Yeah, I would say Lando.
Okay, Lando for the sprint. And what about the Grand Prix?
I would say Max. Lando wins the sprint and Max the race.
2 and 3 on Sunday?
Both McLarens, yes, I would say. But this year is coming very difficult, Tom. You know, you see how the Mercedes are performing very well, both. Antonelli, surprisingly quicker the second part of the year. Amazing. Really, really impressed about what he's doing, and you know, Ferrari have to save the season whenever they can. So I'm expecting them to open the top of the power unit at least one race, but maybe this is going to be Abu Dhabi, not here.
Albert, thank you very much.
Tom.
Great to have you on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure always to listen to your podcast. Very interesting, learning a lot of things with the people you are chatting with, not this time, but I will listen.
Particularly this week.
Yes.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
To keep across all the action in Qatar this weekend, go to F1.com, the F1 app, and at F1 on social media. And in selected countries, you can watch all the sessions live on F1 TV. And don't forget to check out F1's other official podcasts. My latest guest on F1 Beyond the Grid is Sebastian Vettel. That's out now. And you can watch our chat on the official F1 YouTube channel. And this week's F1 Explains is all about Ford's return to F1 with Red Bull Racing in 2026. That's out on Friday. Just search for F1 Beyond the Grid and F1 Explains on your podcast app. Thanks very much for listening. We will, of course, be back on Monday from the Lusail paddock with our review of the Qatar Grand Prix. F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audio Boom Studios.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.